When He Met Her, narrated by Alexandra Anderson, for Cupido in collaboration with Saga. The Minotaur, by Dennis Dante. She plays with an olive in her mouth, lets it disappear, and then reveals it again, smooth, shining with spit and black as sin. Between her soft, alluring lips. She pokes out her tongue and smiles. She can't stand the taste of olives and makes sure not to bite it, but has already been given this provocative performance for a couple of minutes and knows that I can't take my eyes off her. And she's perfectly well aware that the same goes for Nikos. So she's still smiling when he comes past once more. And lets him fill up her glass before suddenly stroking his hand with hers, whispering thank you and giggling. She's a wee bit tipsy. She's happy. And she's completely and unreservedly mine. We've been here a week and we are full of impressions, unfamiliar smells, sounds and flavors, customs and rules. We've visited Minoan places and Venetian coastal cities. We've bathed on lonely beaches and snogged in the alleyways of the capital. You could call it making love, actually. At night we've eaten, drunk, made love again and again, and talked about why we don't want to go home. She says the time has come to go the opposite way. Instead of swarming around the Cretan landscape like intrusive worker bees, the country and its culture, as well as its people, must enter into us. Now it's up to them. We've left our watches at the hotel and are sitting at a little taverna, allowing time to come and meet us instead of just going past us. And here, under the strict control of his father, is where Nikos works. He's the reincarnation of a Hellenic god, the very symbol of southern manhood. He has dark eyes and skin, short hair, and is very beautiful. He's in his mid-twenties, muscular and well-groomed, charming and polite. I have no problems understanding that Scandinavian girls can fall for the likes of him on their annual holidays traveling alone or in a crowd. It's easy to see that my girlfriend has fallen for him too. We talked about it before we left, laughed and joked, said that she'd have to watch out for the romantic, seductive men down here. Elise ruffled my hair and said that it might be fun to see if she still had her pulling power with the boys. But we don't have a plan, at least not one that we've made. Elise is not in control of the effect Nikos has. She gets shiny-eyed and flushed when, in the middle of a sentence, she notices him looking at her for a long time. She kisses my neck a little extra so that she is able to glance in his direction and can't hide that she's captivated and a little uncomfortable every time he races past with the tray of glasses or some plates. She smiles, looks at me, and takes it for granted that I understand. I guess I've never been very good at paying her enough attention. But she wants it, must have it, and shall get it now, I think. And I touch her underneath the table.